Our great Rebbe Rav Schechter often emphasizes that much that Talmidim achieve in yeshiva doesn't necessarily project them to go into the Rabbanus or into Chinuch, and some of his best Talmidim, biggest Talmide Chacham, are professionals. So in Beit Shemesh I have a night kollel, which is mostly of professionals, people who work during the day, and they're Talmide Chacham in their own right. One of them, his name is Dr. Danny Feiner. Many people know him because of his Talmidei Chachamim brother and brother-in-law. He's a brother of Eitan Feiner, brother-in-law of Kevi Tarrigan. But he himself is a Talmidei Chacham in his own right. He's a dentist. And he's last night, he said to me that when it comes to, he was here in the Kola. He's an Avreich of the Grus Kola. Beautiful. Shkacher, man. So last night he said to me that it's interesting that Matanas Lev Yonim is referred to as Matana, not as tzedakah, not as charity, but a Matana, a gift to poor people. Why is it referred specifically as a Matana? Last or 2 weeks ago we developed that Purim is all about perception. HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be Nistar, but really, there's so much more that's beyond the story, beyond the most obvious parts of the plot. This week, I'd like to talk again about Purim being about perception, but a different form of perception. Not the perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Midos and human perception of others. Haman says, V'chol zeh inenu shaveli. Everything, all that I have, one of the most powerful people in the world, is worth absolutely nothing, he says, just because I don't have the honor and respect of one Jew. And the whole mapecha, the whole v'nafaychu, is only a product of that chisar and amidos of Haman. He made his own bed. He made his own gallows. Simply because of the Chol Zeh Inenu Shaveli. And we, Klal Yisrael, also struggle with that in the beginning of the Megillah. Yeshna Amechad Mefuzar Mefurad Bein Amim. We're divided by our jealousies, our particular interests, our chesronos and midos, and it's fixed with Esther Amalka saying, Lech Nois Kol HaYehudim. A ichud of Klal Yisrael. The best way to describe this in Midos, we've mentioned this in the past, is Ayin Tova. Haman represents an Ayin Ra, an eye that is focused on what he doesn't have. The Gra describes Ayin Tova in one place in his parish in Avos as the Midah of Histapkus, which means the ability for a person to be happy with what he has, the exact opposite of Haman. Mefarshim point out that in other places, the Gra and Perek Beis, Mishnah in Avos mentions Ayin Tova in Perek Hei. In Perek Beis, the Gra says, in the context of Ayin Tova, he quotes the pasuk, Tov Ayin Yivarech Kinosan Milach Moladal. There, the Gra seems to describe Ayin Tova as the ability to give to others. And the Mefarshim point out there's no stira between the two Gras. The Gra is really pointing out that these two Bechinas, giving to others, and the ability for a person to be satisfied with what they have, are really two parts of the same coin. And that's a tremendous part of the Avodah of Purim. For a person to say, wait a second, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me is enough, and thereby he could truly be a person who's an Ayin Tova to others. Sharing with others is a product of being satisfied with less. And Rabosai, that's something you have to start working on now when you're young. It could very well be, Rabdani suggested, that that's the pshat in the description of Matanas Levyonim as a Matana. The whole Avodah of Purim is not the Cheshbon, am I Mekayim Mitzvah Tzedakah or not? Ko HaPoishit Yadoi, you give to anybody. The magnanimous part, the realization that, wait a second, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, is that really mine? Does it really, really belong to me? I was involved with a very, I thought, one of the most revealing stories about human nature in the last couple of weeks. There was a Yerusha, it was an inheritance, and it wasn't a small inheritance. It was at least, I don't know the details of what the case was, but at least tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars that were at stake. And unfortunately, what often happens in cases of inheritance, there was somebody who wasn't mentioned in the will and ran the risk of dividing the family. There was a person who decided to make shalom, even though al pi halacha, the third party, let's say, wasn't entitled, both according to halacha and according to legal law, the person wasn't entitled. Few siblings, one of them wasn't mentioned, feelings of enmity. And the person told me, you know, when I decided to do everything I can and to be mevater, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I was thinking of the following story. And I heard from the master of all drasha, I heard it in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin from Reb David Orlovsky. He said the story I heard this week as well, in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin once had two Bali Dinim that came to him, and each one said, I'm entitled to a piece of land. So Reb Chaim Volozhin listened to Reuven. Reuven said he's entitled to it. He listened to Shimon. Shimon explained why he's entitled to it. And Reb Chaim Volozhin said, but there's a third Baal Din over here that I have to listen to too. And you know who that is? The land. So Reb Chaim Volozhin goes over to the land and he puts his ear to the land. Picks up his head and he says, and the land says that one day both of you are going to belong to him. Dvarim Amukim. And a person who internalizes this doesn't give a few prutas on Purim. Tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, just to be able to make Shalom and Klal Yisrael. That's one part of Ayin Tova. And that's the teretz Rav Dani suggested, why it says Matonas L'Avyonim and not Tzedakah L'Avyonim. Because Avoid is just to give and to give and to give, to remember where it all comes from. But there's something deeper. Ayin Tova is even deeper than that. How we perceive everything and all human beings. Here in Eretz Yisrael, every Israeli has an opinion. I could say almost that I had an abused childhood. I grew up that my father used to like to watch C-SPAN. That is the worst. Oh my goodness, it's so boring. But here in Eretz Yisrael, you turn on the Knesset for 5 minutes. Wow, that's exciting. And every person has an opinion. And there's a drama, and there's a masa umatan, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. And every Ben Eretz Yisrael has an opinion on many different things that are going on today in Arzeinu HaKadosha. It's not my place to have an opinion. But I just want to say one thing about it, Ayin Tova. I'm repeating something I've said in the past. There was an American Marine who was at our house, I believe it was Shavuos a couple years ago, who barely knew that he was Jewish. And he decided, a professional Marine, and he decided that he was going to come to Arzeinu HaKadosha, and he said, if I'm a soldier, I want to be a Jewish soldier. He didn't know how to read Hebrew, but he realized he was Jewish. Why should I be an American soldier? I want to be a Jewish soldier. He came here. And sure enough, Baruch Hashem, it was Shavuos. I had Bachurei Yeshiva in my house. Not Nativ Aryeh Torah Shraga boys. I'm talking about, you know, real Israeli Yeshiva Bachurim. Pardon the real word. Real Israeli Yeshiva Bachurim in my house. And the two started talking. Both of them knew English. And the Marine begins to give them all the tinyness of how they're not serving their country. And the Yeshiva Bachur says, no. I'm defending the country. I was mamish scared that soon that they were going to come to blows to each other. You knew who was going to win that fight. And I get in between them. And I said, wait a second. And Rabosa, I think this is Yisod Gadol. I turned to the Marine and I said to him, a fantastic I'll even use the words Ben Torah, based on what he understands, a special human being. I said to him, do you realize that there are people today in Kiryat Sefer who in the morning, their mother measures out, I know these people, measures out milk for each child so that her husband could sit and learn B'Mesiris Nefesh? And each child is a chelik in that Mesiris Nefesh. And then I turned to the yeshiva bachar, look at this young man. This young man decided that he's Jewish, and therefore he has to come and defend Jewish people in a Jewish country. You can't respect that? You can't have an Ayin Tova for that? Klal Yisrael can't have an Ayin Tova on both sides? Makaralan, what's happened to us? La'arichas Hasheni, the Mesiris Nefesh for the other person? That's the koach of Esther Amalka. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud tells us that everybody thought that Esther was one of theirs. Everybody thought. That's the pshat that no one knew who Esther was. Says the Me'am Loes, that's because Esther was mechabed everybody. That doesn't mean she didn't have opinion. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita is mechabed everybody. He has opinion. Sometimes people disagree with him. Other talmidei chachamim. Sometimes people don't understand what he said. But he's mechabed everybody, and that's why everybody feels that they're a chelik of him and he's a chelik of them. And it's Esther Amalka with that tovas ha'ayin, that everybody felt connected to her. She's the one who makes that call, lech knois kol ha'yehudim. Today we read in the Haftorah, tachas ha'natzutz yaleh v'rosh v'sachas ha'sir pod yala hadas v'hoyo l'ashem l'shem. Who's the Natsutz? The Gemara in Megillah tells us. The Natsutz is Haman. Who's the Hadas? The Hadas is Esther. The thorn bush. Haman in his Ayin Ra, when you rub up against him, it bristles. The lack of understanding, the lack of clarity, the aggressiveness. That's the Mida of Haman. Esther represents the opposite. She's the Hadas. The Hadas smells beautiful, that tastes beautiful, and maybe we could add one more thing, be Mechadesh, one more thing. A Hadas is the semel of what? The Hadas is a semel of an eye. Esther is that Bechina of the Ayin, that Ayin Tova. So that's what the Gemara is bringing out. The Gemara says that Megillah Daf Yud, the other Gemara that I was referring to is Megillah Yud Gimel, excuse me, it was Megillah Yud Gimel. This one is Megillah Yud. The Gemara here is telling us, a Megillah Daf Yud, this idea that Esther represents this Bechina of the Ayin, that Ayin Tova. And Rabosai, that's something every single one of us has to work on, Lekras Yimei Purim. Lekras, the Bechina of Lech Knois Kol HaYehudim. How are we supposed to do it? Three small suggestions, and with this I conclude. Number one, the most obvious yisod that people talk about a lot, and it's hard for me to do, but maybe I could give you a little bit of incentive. Dan lekav schus. Sometimes it looks like Reuven is doing one thing, and really it's something totally different. I heard from a great therapist. He's a Talmud Chacham. He has smicha from our yeshiva. He's a fantastic Ben Torah. Once I was in a room here, I was right here. There was a bris over here with a bunch of rabbanim, and Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Reich was also at the bris. So I turned to one of the young Talmidei Chacham sitting next to me. I said to him, who's the most important mechanech here? He said, maybe you mean this Rebbe? I said, no, that Rebbe, no. So the most important mechanech, no one could know how important of a mechanech he is. He's one of the best therapists around for many, many, many Talmidim. So Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Reich told me an amazing thing from the Baal Shem Tov. He says that Dan Lekav Schus, the Baal Shem Tov said, described in the following way. Chazal say that L'Asid Lavo, a person's going to go up to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show them their life. That Chazal already said. The Besht had an amazing take. The Besht says, you're going to see your life, but you're not going to know that it's you. And then the Beis Din Shel Mala is going to say, Paskin. Whatever you say, that's what it's going to be. If you train yourself, then you'll judge yourself. Lekav schus. This is a therapist of art. It's an amazing art. Then you'll judge yourself. Lekav schus. And then you get Gan Eden. Bechas v'chalila, the opposite. If it's a person that always has that ayin ra, so then that's the psak. You're going to end up giving yourself. And in psychology, that's a yisod gadol. That how we perceive ourselves becomes so much of who we are. Number two, aside from being down lekav schus, putting yourself in other people's shoes. My father may be well, always used to love to describe Rabbi Yochai Meisels. Rabbi Yochai Meisels was a rav in a few cities in Europe. He was a fighter for the poor. In fact, he went from city to city. He was a rav in a few cities because every time, ultimately, the rich people kicked him out because they felt he was taking too much money from them to give to the poor people. So he joked, he became the Ravin Lodge, which was one of the biggest cities in Poland, and he said, I can't go anywhere from here. I found the biggest city and the wealthiest city. And he stayed there for a few years. They said, Rabbi Yochai Meisels locked on door. It might have been at the door of the famous Gevir. If you visit when you go on the trips to Poland, there is this amazing ohel, for lack of a better word. Poznanski, something like that. And he was a famous wealthy person in Lodz. So Yochaim came to beg that there were some people who he felt didn't have enough. So he's told Rabbi Yochaim, come inside. So Rabbi Yochaim said, no, I'm going to stand here. And he started giving him his whole pitch. He refused to come. He wanted to be mechabed him with a tea and so on and so forth in his beautiful home. No. Eventually, after 5 minutes, Rabbi Yochaim is talking about the doorway. It's a cold Polish night. And he says, Rabbi Meisels, I'm getting cold. He says, oh, okay, now we could go sit down. And then he tells him again the pitch, and eventually he writes him a check. He asks Rabbi Yochaim, why didn't you come in the first time? He said, I wanted you to get a little bit of a sense of how these Jews are feeling. So I wanted you to get a little bit of a sense of what a cold Polish night is. A lot of times, we don't take the time to think what it's like to be a yeshiva bacher that's being omel day in and day out in poverty. And times we don't think what it's like to stand in boots while it's raining on a post somewhere up north, down south, or even on the machzom between Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh. If a person begins to spend some time making that cheshbon, an ayin tova, they'll see things sometimes in a totally different light. And now we come full circle, the last Eitzah. How does the pasuk conclude? Tachas hanatzutz yalev rosh v'hoyo l'ashem l'shem. If a person remembers that all of this is bavur HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person remembers that behind all of these stories is Kudsh HaBrich Hu, if a person remembers that everything that they have is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person remembers what the land whispered back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, eventually they're both going to belong to me, then a person could develop an Ayin Tova. It comes down to Emunah Bashem. It's an Avodah B'Midos, but it's Emunah Bashem. And therefore the two Shmuzin that we gave are connected to each other. What we spoke about 2 weeks ago about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Purim is directly connected to this Avodah Samidos of an Ayin Tova. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya that after 120 years, that when the land takes us back, land will be made that the way in which we looked at it, and we looked at Kodesh Baruch Hu's beautiful human beings, was with an ayin tova.